Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim, and our guest today is Josh Cadillac. So Josh, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name is Josh Cadillac. I teach and speak on real estate, negotiation, investment, all things basically centered around the real estate industry. I'm in Southeast Florida and speak about this stuff all over the United States. Just had a new book come out from McGraw-Hill called Close for Life on the fundamental way we need to reevaluate and rethink the way that we do all things related to real estate and real estate training.
Awesome. So how did you get into real estate in the first place?
The way that most people do, desperation. I was in the restaurant business and long in commercial real estate holdings when the housing collapse occurred. And if there's one thing that dried up in South Florida right away, it was liquidity. And that had pretty much everybody fleeing from restaurants. And the particular type of commercial real estate that I was in was largely driven by the housing market. The housing market came to a screeching halt. So all the small subcontractors that were renting space for me in some of my warehouse facilities, they all disappeared. Tremendous, went from waiting lists to huge vacancies. And so, yeah, we lost just about everything and had to start from scratch and had to rebuild from the ground up.
Sure. So in those times, what did you do to rebuild from the ground up?
It's pretty straightforward. I took what I knew in investment and real estate and tried to bring that to the customers that needed that. I mean, there were tremendous opportunities at that point. When the bloodbath starts, the smart people start running and looking for the opportunities while everybody else is running scared. Early on, I didn't have a lot of liquidity myself. I had to build it up from doing the business. And so I went in, I got my real estate license, which entirely and totally does not prepare you to do the job of actual real estate. And I realized I needed supplemental training. I took all the supplemental training I could find, all the name brand certifications, designations, you name it. And none of it prepared me to actually do business well. It trained me well to go get warm bodies and try to chase paychecks, but how to actually build a business of loyal customers that came back to me over and over and over again, nothing they teach in real estate prepares you to do that. And that's eventually what got me into the real estate education space, was the fact that there was this huge gaping hole in the way that we teach real estate.
Right. So as of right now, what does a typical day look like for you?
For me, I would say it's about 200 days a year that I'm speaking professionally at this point. And the remainder of the time I'm managing and in whatever spare time I have, managing my other businesses and doing what real estate I still do that I don't refer out. I mean, I'm very selective about the people that I work with right now. And I only work the listing side of the business. If it's a buyer, somebody looking for properties, I'll still work with them, but it will be in collaboration with somebody else because I physically don't have the time or the wherewithal to show the properties. I can still negotiate the deals, still, you know, analyze them, see whether or not it makes sense, because that can be done on my own time. But to physically coordinate and being my corpus in a certain area to physically show property, that's a little harder to do.
Right, that makes sense. Right.
Yeah. So to what do you owe your success?
I would say that in writing the most recent book that was really driven home, it's lessons that I learned from my father, things that he taught me in the business of doing business. And so that's the things that I really try to focus on in the book, taking those lessons that he taught me from when I was a little kid. I was just thinking about the story the other day. The first lesson I remember my father taught me. As a little boy, I was in the car with him. I was maybe 3 years old. And I said to him, you know, Daddy, I got to use the bathroom. And, you know, you said that to a parent today. They're tearing the rubber off the cars trying to find the nearest facilities for the kid. My father grew up through the Great Depression. He looks right over at me and he says, son, sometimes you need to learn to soldier. And that was the very first lesson I remember my father teaching me. It's not that my father didn't love me or anything like that. It's just that he knew that I was going to need to build into myself the capacity to tell myself no to whatever my needs of the moment were. And if I look at through all the trainings, through all the things that I've done, one of the biggest issues that people have is the inability to tell themselves no and stick with it.
Makes sense. That's great. So how do you incorporate technology in your daily business?
I can't say I'm the most tech savvy of all people in the universe. I do use it through, we do a lot of online presentations. I was one of the first guys to go virtual when things went virtual. I was like, sure, let's figure out how to make this work virtually. I'm actually, you know, on the spectrum, they have the people that are early adopters and the people that that come in late. I'm the guy that comes in later than anybody. And I want to find the company that's already figured out how to make it simple and easy, as opposed to that gets it to do all the cool bells and whistles. So like my my systems are very tight. My systems are incredibly efficient. But I have a policy, the software takes me more than 5 minutes to figure out how it works. I have no interest in using that software. I need something that's simple and easy and works well, and allows me to be effective and efficient. If it doesn't add to that, then somebody else needs to go figure it out. And when they have it figured out, they can come explain it to me, because my time is better used elsewhere. I find better return on investment other places.
Great. So if that's the case, have you ever explored AI to integrate AI in your business?
It's something that we're looking at with the business that I do right now. It's not particularly, I haven't found an application that'll be particularly helpful for the real estate business. If mm-hmm. I was still in the business of building my real estate business, as opposed to the place where I'm at right now, which is very much just maintaining my business, then yeah, I could see very much having AI make my cold calls for me, AI out there taking and being nimble enough to meet the customer where they're at. Yeah, I could see that being a worthwhile thing. Where I am today, no, I just don't see the application.
Right. So, you know, obviously you're doing coaching, so you work with lots of folks. What in your mind differentiates the people that are successful in real estate work versus the people who are not successful?
It's the ability to get yourself to do what you know you need to do. It's the ability to be a good CEO to yourself. And to take and embrace that role as your own CEO. Because in real estate, while you work under a broker, you don't work for the broker. You work for yourself. And so if you can't get yourself to show up every day on time and perform, well, those battles that you lose with yourself are going to manifest themselves in your business, and you're not going to be able to run a successful business.
So you think people are just too distracted and doing too many different things, and that's why they fail at real estate, what do you think causes people to not be successful?
I think it's that we have a society in general that doesn't really embrace the idea of self-discipline very much. Self-discipline is two of the ugliest words you can ever utter in the English language at this point. And so if you're not capable of managing yourself, well, the odds of you managing a successful business are not very high. And so people have been told to basically steer away from to not focus on building their own capacities up. They've been told most of their life that it's better to avoid pain. And the reality of it is, pain is where we grow from, fellas. And so your willingness to put yourself in the pain, maybe the best answer I can give to this question is to kind of give you a story about the CEO mindset a little bit. I can remember being told by my father, son, I just got a bunch of stuff from the store. I need you to go unload the trunk of the car. And in my family, that was very specific how you had to return somebody's keys. You had to go find the person, look them in the eyes. You had to take their hand. You had to put the keys in their hand and look them in the eye and say, hey, I'm returning your keys to you, right? Because if you didn't do that, then everybody's like, hey, did you give me my keys back? And no, you didn't. And so that just knocks that right out. That was the policy, the house policy of how you return keys. Anyway, so I unload the trunk. I'm maybe, as I said, maybe 13, 14 years old. I unload the trunk. I come back. My dad's not around, but I see his pants and I know the car keys are in his pants. So I go and I pull out the keys and I put his trunk key back on right next to the ignition key. Everything is fine, I thought. My dad comes around about an hour later. I say, hey, by the way, I returned the car keys. They're in your pants pocket. He said, I know, I saw that. Thank you very much. But you put the key on the wrong way. I'm like, I put the key on the wrong way. There's on the ring and off the ring. The key is clearly on the ring. What the hell do you mean I put it on the wrong way? He said, no, 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 you don't understand. All the teeth on my keys face the same direction. I said, why would anybody in the world care about that? And this is the reason why it was so frustrating to ever argue with my father. He said, because it's very simple, son. If it's ever dark out, I can get the teeth on one key facing the right way and try every key in the lock and never have to worry that the keys are facing the wrong way. And I had to sit there and say to myself, that just makes a ton of sense. Now, here's the thing, and here's the hidden message in that. My father always thought like an investor, because that's an investor. That's a CEO right there. My father was willing to go through the extra 2 seconds of aggravation to get the key on the right way now to make his life better in the future. He was investing in the experience of that guy in the dark trying to get in the lock. He wanted that guy's life to be easier. Most people don't think that way. They'd rather take the pleasure now and deal with the pain later. And that's where it breaks down. Most agents don't have that disciplined mindset of what's the suck I can get into right now to make things better on the other side of the rainbow.
That's amazing. That's cool. So when we are talking about investing, so do you think like there are some benefits to investing in technology for the real estate business?
Oh, sure. I mean, there have definitely been great performers who have gotten out in front of the technologies. The people that got into social media early did very well. The folks that got into blogging very early, got websites, SEO, all of these things. The real thing winds up being that most people that got in very early that were successful. And then everybody else is playing catch up, spent a fortune, and I'm not sure they ever got any ROI in it. So the question winds up being, are you front enough? Are you early enough in the technology cycle that there's a good ROI there? That's always the question I ask with any technology that I bring in. You know, the guy that wants to take it, I'll increase your viewers on, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Show me what you're doing that nobody else is doing. Like, why isn't everybody doing this? Right. And if everybody else is doing this, then what the hell am I doing? Just taking and basically spending a bunch of money to check a box? Because here's the thing it really boils down to, fellas. And this is what I've learned after my time in this business. You don't have to do everything well. If you do one or two things exceptionally well, you will have an incredible, sustainable business. So as unsexy as it sounds, one of the things that I've always done well is I answer my phone. I refuse to put customers in constant contact. I refuse to take and have digital touches. Because you want to know something? I get a constant contact email. Kasim, I am breaking the sound barrier hitting the delete button. I am so grateful to have one more email I can get rid of in my inbox. It makes me thrill. I want that garbage gone. What makes anybody think that when I send them some robot email that they can obviously see is not real, it's not me, what's going to make them hang on to? Oh, it's Josh. No way. They're going to hit the delete button, right? So unless, and this is the thing, right? This is kind of what I think AI has kind of brought in. You have more and more of these things that are getting better and better at making the impersonal seem personal. But until it's truly mirrored, there's still going to be a place because everybody's trying to squeeze that. Everybody's trying to figure out how they don't have to physically get involved. If you're willing to physically get involved, if you're willing to physically pick up the phone, well, I'll give you guys this. When was the last time that you bought something from somebody and they called you up afterwards to see how you did, how you liked it? And not once. And they never ask for business. They just call to check on you. You want to talk about something that doesn't exist in the universe today? That's the place that I found my market niche in. And that's part of what real estate is, finding your niche. If you're the technology person or you want to be, there's so many avenues out there, right? There's so many places. But if you want to take and make something that I think is mass successful to real estate agents, focus on simplicity. I could not find a CRM that is a real estate CRM that I would use. They were all too complicated. They all did too many things that I didn't want them to do. I want them to do one simple thing. Put in front of me what I need to do today. If you can just do that and make it simple for me to reschedule those things as I talk to you guys, I like you guys. You seem nice. Guess what? I'm not going to talk to you today and forget you ever exist. I want to follow up with you in a few months. So after I talk today, I'm just going to reschedule that for 3 months from now and I'll check back in. But guess what? I'll never forget you guys as long as I do that. As long as I do that, I'll have a data task that's constantly reminding me of who I need to talk to and when. It's a very simple, like overly stupidly simple, but thing. Nobody does it. Right. So I give you that because I there's a gamut. You know, you can go from incredibly simplistic to incredibly complex. It's a matter of figuring out what business model works for you and making sure that, forget works for you, that it works for your customer. I'm a big believer, and I don't want my customers to ever feel like they did Tinder real estate with me. Like I swipe left, got my paycheck from them, and they never heard from me the next day. That's not me, guys. That's not how I do business. Right. You know, I believe in closing customers for life, and that's why I wrote a book called Close for Life. I do a deal with you. It's considered failure in my business if you'd ever work with anybody else other than me again. That's what failure looks like. And that's not how this business is done.
Well said. Well said. Yeah. So, and pardon me, I'm a tech guy. So that's why I'm
sure, talking
more about tech because I know only tech. I'm not that much good in real estate. So that's why
I need you guys. I love you guys. It's not that. I don't want to shoot it down. The problem really is, Kasim, if I'm being honest, you know, when you're in real estate, you go to like a million classes because what they do is they hand you a real estate, they give you a test, you take it, and they hand you a license and they say, go do real estate. And you're like, oh crap. I am in no way, what you just taught me for this test in no way prepared me for real estate. So now you're going out. And the thing is you get pounced on by all these different providers and tech. When I started, the thing was blogging. They made me buy into it. If I was not blogging, it sounded like I would never sell another piece of real estate ever again. Now, you and I all know, with the benefit of hindsight, blogging really didn't make a whole hill of me. Maybe for SEO purposes, it helped. But by the time I came along, the people that were so far ahead in SEO, I was never catching up, right? There's no real egalitarian way of like the cream. It's very hard for the cream to rise to the top, right? And so, for me, it's separating the good tech from the folks that are just looking to separate people from their money. And that's always what it is, you know, trying to, because there's so much garbage out there. To get the really great, that's just so hard to find.
Yeah, and I have experienced one thing right now. In fact, before your call, I just purchased a tool while I was scrolling my Instagram. There was a tool. Mm-hmm. They said only one-time fee and 50% off and go for it to now. Okay. I just purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
I purchased it just for the fun. So after purchasing, I came to know, okay, this is on monthly subscription.
Yeah.
After paying, I came to know this for monthly subscription. And I'm a tech guy and I wasn't getting a way how to use, like, I invested my 30 minutes on it and I wasn't getting to use this tool.
Well, you know,
so how a layman can use.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of because I've actually helped with some development of some software. They brought me in because I'm such a fan of simplicity. There was a company that I worked with a ways back to try to work with their CRM. And it's almost like a self-defeating thing because who do you need to take and build it is the tech guys. But the thing is, the tech guys are like disproportionately comfortable with tech. And so like, it's impossible for them to understand what I'll call tech moron, which is me, right? Mm-hmm. They don't speak that language. So it's like, of course it's simple. It just takes these six clicks, this subcategory, this drop down right here. And there it is. And I'm like, that's seven more clicks. I only made six clicks. I know it's seven more clicks than I wanted to make. I want the thing to just know what I wanted to do and do it. Like that's the gap we're trying to bridge. Right. And so like the software I wound up having to use to manage my real estate. And guys, I'm telling you, I manage my real estate business, my construction business, my property. I manage all my companies out of one CRM and it's not a real estate CRM. It's not any, it's a sales CRM. All it literally does is just put in front of me the next task, because here's the thing, right? I like to break processes down and make them simple. It's kind of, my father was a bit of an industrial engineer at heart. He had a bunch of patents to his name. He did a whole bunch of really crazy, incredible stuff that, you know, in these companies that he built. I want to take a look at the things that I do the most and make those redundant things the most simple thing they can possibly be. Like the fewest number of clicks to achieve that is what I want. And if I have to use on multiple interfaces online and on an app or whatever, I want them to look the same so that there's not a double learning curve. Like I learned how to use it here. It's almost exactly the same. It's incredibly intuitive. And if you can check those blocks. And so I realized early on, the thing that I wasn't good at was memory. I can't remember anything. I forget. I don't care if you think you have a good memory. You don't have as good a memory as the computer. The computer's memory is perfect. And especially if it's in a cloud, it's not going anywhere, right? So I got a software that all it does is remember all the things that need to get done. And I focus on what I'm good at, execution. I execute, it remembers, perfect synergy. And keep it simple. So yeah, that's kind of my relationship with tech to some extent.
You precisely described how you are tracking the effectiveness of your technology. So let me know how you are tracking the effectiveness of other things in your business, like how you track the effectiveness.
Well, it depends on what it is. I mean, with classes that I teach in the room, it's usually by feedback. Actually, this is going to seem so absolutely analog to a tech guy, but I'm going to put it out there. I'm kidding about it being analog. What I usually do between you, me, and the lamppost, even though this is going out to your entire group there, I usually, when I start a class, I look for the person that has the absolute worst body language. I look for the person that they just don't want to be there. They are there because they're serving, I don't know, they got sentenced here by a judge or something like that. And my goal for that talk is to get that person body language turned around and get them up there talking by the end of the class, telling me how much they enjoyed it. If I can do that, that's kind of my own personal gauge of how I do. But yeah, I mean, other things, sales metrics, you know, selling books, all that sort of thing, you know, always looking at what posts do well, what are the things that people are most interested in hearing more about. I'm trying to take and figure out where the customer is and what they need. I mean, if you want to break down, and my brother's a philosophy professor, so he and I talk about this a lot. You know, why has capitalism been so successful in the world? Well, it's pretty simple. The first thing, even though the intellectual idiots out there like to tell you capitalism is all about greed, the very first thing you need to figure out in a capitalist society is what somebody else needs and how you can get it to them better or cheaper or something than they can get it someplace else. So literally, in order to get your needs met, you got to think about the other person. And that is what has been made this so successful, because we as human beings are incredibly creative people if you give us an incentive to be creative. And so when the incentive is that you participate directly from the fruits of whatever you come up with, well, you have a world where something like Shark Tank happens on television. And to me, that's just a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. So if we were to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
Well, what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to have a fully online, my academy fully online, because as much as I teach, I've written so much stuff that it's almost impossible for people that want more of it to find it, unless they're going to jump on a plane and fly all over the country to get it. So I want to make it a little bit more egalitarian, working on getting our mastermind group put together so that we can actually help people. One of my favorite things to do is help people with their problems. You know, tell me what the problem is. That's what customers are saying. This is what you need to do. Start here. You know, I love to do that, because then you're learning from my pain and suffering. I don't have to make it duplicated. I don't want people to duplicate my pain and suffering. Please learn from the misery. Right. And so that would be a piece of it. You know, bigger stages always is the place that we're going. I mean, the speaking business really has exploded since COVID ended. We're fully national now. Probably going to be international by the end of next year in a couple of venues. And yeah, just growing that for the next couple of years. That's really the place I want to go to. And I think there's rumor of another book deal that I'm being courted for. So these are all first world problems to have at this point.
That's exciting. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you or your business, what's the best way for somebody to get in touch with you?
Yeah, closeforlife.com is my website. That's probably the best place to see the things that we have going right now. That also link with the course calendar and all that other stuff. And then, books, Close for Life, the new book is out. In fact, it's kind of one of those holy crap moments. It's available on Audible now. So it's one thing to be on Amazon. I've been on Amazon with my first book for a while, but now I have an audio book on Audible. And guys, I got to tell you, I only listen to books now. So it's like, wow, my book is finally something I would read. And so that's kind of cool, especially they had me narrate it. So yeah, those are out there. And otherwise, you can get me on Instagram, Josh D. Cadillac, or any of the other social media platforms, Josh Cadillac. I'm out there all over the place.
Awesome. Well, Josh, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you can write more books and speak to more people and grow your business. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. Good meeting you both.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Same here.
Bye.
Bye-bye.